Welcome to Radioactive Magazine. Nicolette Page, manager of the Kansas City Urban Farm Co-op, will tell us about what they do and about a fundraising dinner scheduled for September 10th that they're organizing to replace some $20,000 worth of equipment that was stolen from them a few months ago. She is accompanied by Darian Davis. I'm Spencer Graves. Nicolette, what is the Kansas City Urban Farm Co-op?
So the Kansas City Urban Farm Co-op, we strive to create a place where people, an economic engine that is ran by urban agriculture. And we have about 170 trees, including cherry bushes and blackberry bushes. And all of that provides for the urban core here in Kansas City.
Great. And Darian, what do you do with the Urban Farm Co-op?
Yes, I'm a original founder of the Kansas City Urban Farm Co-op, and we created it for one reason: to increase food sovereignty in the inner core urban area. And it's been a delight getting the neighborhood, especially the children, connected back to where food comes from in an organic way.
Wonderful. So tell us about your fundraiser September 10th.
So our fundraiser is called A Night at the Orchard, and it's going to be Saturday, September 10th, underneath the full moon, which is going to be awesome. And we're going to have a fine dining experience with live jazz. We're going to have wine tastings, and it's going to be really unique because it will be at the orchard that we have. So everybody will be eating amongst the stars, amongst the fruit trees that we have. And it is going to be for a great cause, which is going to help us to recoup some of the money and supplies that we lost whenever we experienced a theft earlier this year. And we're actually thinking about having this event yearly as a fundraiser to help support the co-op and everything that goes into running it. So we're really, really excited about it. The food's going to be delicious. The entertainment is a young man from Tennessee. He actually studied out in New York and has gotten a lot of recognition nationwide. His name is Tyler Bullock, and he is a jazz pianist. So we're really excited. We're excited to have everybody out.
Great, great. And where is your orchard?
We are located right behind the Swope Dog Park. That would be at 5051 East Gregory Boulevard. The Swope Dog Park is on the Kansas City, Missouri side, and we're right behind it. As soon as you pull into the Swope Dog Park, if you were to just keep going straight, you would see the Kansas City Urban Farm Co-op.
So that's the west side of Swope Park. The east side is not Kansas City, is that it?
It's on the north side of Gregory.
Okay, all right, great. So how can people get more information about your fundraiser?
So they can get more information by going to our Facebook page or our Instagram page, which is, if they were to type in the search bar, Kansas City Urban Farm Co-op, it'll pull right up. And we have been posting regularly their updates about our upcoming events, especially A Night at the Orchard and some of our volunteer days that'll be coming up.
Okay. For those who don't use Twitter or Facebook or whatever social media.
Yeah, for those who don't use social media.
I can tell them. So just go to KKFI Radioactive Magazine at KKFI.org and click, if you do it on your cell phone, you've got a hamburger icon, you click on that, and there's a News and Public Affairs icon, you can then scroll down and select Radioactive Magazine.
Sounds good.
All right.
Okay. And so... Right. So you're a membership organization then?
Yes.
So tell us about that.
So how we originally envisioned it and are still trying to work out the kinks is members are able to be a part of the cooperative and actually share in the profits that are made by the Urban Farm Co-op based off of patronage, how much they patronize the co-op. And so we thought this would be a unique way to not only provide jobs that are needed in our community in the urban Kansas City core, but also to get people more connected with where food comes from and to support other small businesses in the urban core and actually have ownership and feel like that they're a part owners and have more pride in making our collective a success, growing food all together as a community.
Right. So I was raised on a farm in northwest corner of Kansas, Cheyenne County, and we were part of the St. Francis Equity Cooperative, and my grandfather ran a co-op in Wheeler, Kansas. So what are you connected at all with the tradition of the farmers co-ops, or you're just sort of off on your own?
Yeah, we're kind of just off on our own trying to do something to where we can have the benefits of both capitalism and socialism. Like, we have to understand that we need to be sustainable and we should want to be able to create jobs and to keep the money in our communities a little bit longer. And so this was the best type of structure that we came up with when we're thinking about formating the Kansas City Urban Farm Co-op. Something to where you need food, so you're going to buy it anyway. But now, instead of the grocery store who's not going to give you a share of their profits, you can be part of something where you know your farmer, you know it's organic, no chemicals, and you actually get to share in the success of the entity.
Yeah, well, now there are organizations, International Cooperative Movement, International Cooperative Alliance, or anything like that. Have you heard of them? Are you connected with them at all?
Yeah, we are familiar with that, and sometimes we go to their seminars and hang out with them. Also, the Merck here locally has been a good partner that we're excited to work with a little bit closer. And they're probably a good pattern of kind of what we want to do, because they're kind of based as a cooperative, but they've gotten to the point to where they have their own grocery store, but they have membership.
Tell me about the Merck.
The Merck, last time I checked, has two locations. One is in Kansas and one is in, well, both of them are in Kansas. One is in Kansas City, Kansas. And so they have a grocery store, but most of all the food is locally grown, and you have to be a member to shop there, if I'm not mistaken, or at least if you are a member, you get benefits as far as reduced costs. And actually, at the end of the year, when they count out what profit they made, they actually give dividends to their members based off of how much produce or food that they bought from the grocery store.
Okay, so Craig just said you don't have to be a member to shop there, at least, right? So, but yeah,
okay.
That's the way with, I think that was the way with the co-op in St. Francis, Kansas, too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that, but I knew that if you were a member, there was extra benefits.
Yeah, well, there are two types of co-ops in general. One is a worker co-op and the other is a consumer co-op. And so you're at least a consumer co-op and maybe possibly also a worker co-op, a hybrid, or?
Yeah, hybrid. We also thought about, well, what if people can't afford membership dues? We have an option to where they could definitely work it out as far as providing labor, and we'll keep tally of that and put it on their credits.
Uh-huh. So tell me more about how this works. So who, what's a typical member like?
Most of all of our members are from the urban core of Kansas City. We have a quite diverse group. So we're still trying to structure it and get our board of directors more stable so we can run more efficiently. We had a major setback where we're trying to raise funds when our trailer was stolen with all our equipment and supplies. And so we're not able to have a budget for staff at this point. So most of all we've been doing has been from volunteers. And so with that being said, for the last couple of years, we've been actually donating and giving away food. So we haven't made any money yet. Hopefully next year we can turn it into a more sustainable practice where we actually can sell the fruit. But as right now, it's mostly volunteer ran. But our hopes is that people will be able to be members $60 a year, and that we have raised beds that they'll be able to rent. We have free mulch. We have a lot of free events and workshops we've been putting on for years for the community, all for free. A lot of vendors and different activities. But we want people, especially children, and we actually have a program we're going to start next summer where we have some kids that are going to be being workers at the orchard for stipends. Mm-hmm. But right now, we really want to get it to a point to where we can be sustainable and actually sell the fruit. And doing organic farming is really labor intensive, and you really have to have a budget to pay people with the amount of spraying and stuff to keep the funguses and insects from destroying your fruit, let alone the raccoons who ravaged a dozen of our peach trees totally.
Right. So, yeah. So do you, you have the major urban orchard there in Swope Park, and your members have their own individual gardens or no?
No, not at this time. We are building raised beds, and we have a half a dozen or so out there that we're going to rent to our members where they can have space if they live in apartments or something, but still want to grow, have access to water, fenced in secure area. But we're also thinking about doing CSAs, customer supported agriculture, where people sign up in advance to get a basket of fruit or whatever's in season that we're growing. We're also going to try to start being out in more farmers markets. But I'm going to be honest with you, what happened this season is we had a lot of fruit, but it was what you call, quote unquote, ugly fruit. It had a lot of very natural and no harm to you type funguses, but it just kind of spotted a lot of the fruit and just, sure, you know, make it look like what we're not used to seeing in the market. So yeah. I think it's a big part of educating people that if you see a bug eating an apple, it's probably a really good apple. and it's natural.
Right. So, you know, and in the 80s, I did some consulting with the Mauritius Sugar Foundation, for example. Mauritius is a tiny island country off the eastern coast of Southern Africa. And I was telling them you need to move up the value chain. Right. So that is to say, if you got in this example applied to what you're just talking about, if you got ugly fruit, can you can the stuff or cook the stuff, you know, make preserves or whatever it is in the kitchens of your co-op members or whatever. And so they're, you know, okay, so the fruit doesn't look so great, but it's fine if you cook it and can it, you know, and you've got, you know, it's a technology that's been around for quite a while, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of ways to process it to turn it into an added value product. It's just, you know, it takes money to organize it and people who know what they're doing. And when you're kind of going on a shoestring budget and working all off of volunteers and you really don't have people to pay to know how to do that, to get it processed in the stores and whatever we have to do. That's the goal we're trying to get. Yep. So right now we've given away hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds of fruit to the community. We're most active showing what we're doing on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But we've had hundreds of people come out getting cherries and apples already.
That's great. So we're talking In case you just joined us, we are talking with Darian Davis, who is a co-founder of the Kansas City Urban Farm Co-op, and Nicolette Page, who's the manager. So, just another basic question. What to you is a cooperative?
Say that again.
So, a very basic question. What's a cooperative?
How did you break that down, Darian?
I think we're looking at a cooperative is an entity where people cooperate. Simple as that. And so all the way down to the act of bartering is acceptable. One of the things we want to do is have a farmer's market where our community, that we're going out helping them with their raised beds and bringing in food. Well, let's all bring our food together. And if we don't have money to pay for the food, let's trade food. And so I think at the very essence, a cooperative means people who just get along, who cooperate for the best good.
So, and how long is the, when was the Kansas City Urban Farm Co-op founded?
We officially founded back in 2016.
Okay. Okay, great. So,
I will say our partners at the Giving Grove, shout out to Rob and Matt. They let us know that we definitely have by far the largest urban orchard in the Kansas City area. So that's one thing we are proud about.
Great. So, and who's the Giving Grove?
So the Giving Grove is an organization that helps people in the community to have their own orchards. And they also provide teaching. They have people that go out there and teach different stewards, as you would call them, who are people that are learning how to take care of fruit trees. They're also in partnership with the Kansas City Community Gardens, which we are also in partnership with. Which, have you heard of the Kansas City Community Gardens? They're so awesome. They provide a lot of raised beds for the community. A lot of seeds. We get a lot of our seeds actually from Kansas City Community Gardens. And together we all are in partnership, which kind of goes into what a co-op is, because for what we're doing, we like to partner with other community gardens and help each other to just get people more aware and educated about being self-sustainable and gardening, the benefits of it, and taking care of fruit trees, and just learning how to take care of yourself and the earth.
Yeah, in the early 70s, I owned a house in the Waldo district, and I had a garden, but the garden got attention when I needed it, not when Hint needed it, and it did not do very well. So what's a raised bed or raised bed?
So the raised beds are like garden beds that have been elevated off of the ground. You take the wood and you put it together in like a little rectangle looking shape, and you fill it up with dirt. And what it does is it helps people to not have to do so much labor, because if you have the garden just on the ground, sometimes that could be hard on your body. But if you have a raised garden bed, then you don't have to use so much of your back muscles. You can just kind of squat down. And sometimes you can make a raised bed that's level to where you don't even have to squat down. You can just like do the work, you know,
standing up. It also helps let you control the soil composition, which is very important, and helps with weed control.
And keeps away from predators, maybe?
Yeah.
Helps.
Yeah, it can help with that, too.
Rabbits especially.
What about, and I'm familiar with greenhouses. I've been in greenhouses, and they're basically all raised beds, I think, or most of them anyway. Not all of them, I guess. Tell me about talk to me about the Kansas City Community Gardens.
So So the Kansas City Community Gardens is a local organization who provides raised garden beds and just a large plot of land for any community member to go in and garden. They also host workshops. They also host different events such as, so I'm also on the board of the Kansas City Folk Festival, and we are having our Folktoberfest at the Kansas City Community Garden. So they host many different types of events, very knowledgeable people, very super friendly. So if you go up there and you want to learn about gardening, they are there to teach you anything and everything you want to know. So they also provide seeds and starter plants too.
Wonderful. The Kansas City Community Gardens, are they just in one location? Or they
throughout, I believe the so. They're okay. Also off of Swope Park.
Yeah, okay. They're right around the corner from us, like a 5-minute walk, actually. Okay. Right next to Swope Park.
So that's so we're talking Missouri. Do you have counterparts in Kansas?
Not at this time.
Okay. I mean,
we are associated with the Casey Farm at Gibbs Road. That's also another great organization.
And is that in Kansas or Missouri?
That is in Kansas. Where in Kansas? That's in the closer to the Argentine area.
Okay. Wyandotte.
Yeah, Wyandotte. Yeah, they're okay. Off of Gibbs Road. That's why they're called Casey Farm at Gibbs Road. But they have a large greenhouse and land full of all kinds of vegetables. They have chickens and beehives, and they also host a lot of community events as well.
Yeah, so are you a nonprofit in any way?
No, we're actually registered with the state as a corporation.
Okay. Except that you basically said you have not made any money so far, right?
Basically. When we talked to our lawyers about the formation, I give you a funny story. We thought that we could sell shares to our members, and then our lawyer quickly informed us that the SEC would frown upon that. But he said a way that you can share profits is based off of patronage, but yeah, you'd have to be formed as a corporation for that to work.
Okay. Right. I worked in the 70s for Midwest Research Institute, and my boss said we're not for profit, but we're not for loss either.
Right.
so in this case, you're a for profit company, but that's still in your future, I guess, right?
Yes, we like to say we practice compassionate capitalism.
Okay, great. So, what got you two into this?
Originally, since I said 2016 is when we were founded, and to be honest, it was Brown out in Missouri. Mike Brown. Yeah, it was during that, man, and a lot of tensions was arised. And at the time, I was contracting building a aquaponic greenhouse for Drake Taylor, my other founder of the Kansas City Urban Farm Co-op, for Nile Valley. I remember it was a rainy morning, and I said, man, what can we do? And we put our heads together and we said, we got to find a way to where we can give the people hope, some type of serenity, where they could own their own stuff. Serenity. What's the word?
Serenity?
No, not serenity. Sovereignty.
Sovereignty. There we go. Yeah.
You know, you get the people some power. And we said, well, we got to start with the land because that's where everything comes from. And it opened up opportunities. You know, we live in a food desert and in the neighborhood. And we talked to these kids when I was building Nile Valley. We would give the kids some money to hang out and help out and learn. And I would talk to these kids, and these kids would tell me where they got their food. And it was from the liquor store, or it was from the Family Dollar, low value, high cost foods. And we saw an issue there that was serious, that these kids were malnutritioned and not really able to even focus at school because of that fact. And so what we came up with is did a simple Facebook post just saying the idea. Originally, we was going to try to buy up a whole bunch of vacant lots and turn it into farming land. And so we put out this post, and in less than 7 days, we got over 200 people to show up on a Sunday early. Yeah. And so we knew that there was a demand for the idea that we were putting out for the community. And when those people showed up and we had all these different things where they could sign up, you know, if you're good at this or if you're good at that. And we had commitment letters, you know, I pledged this, that, and the other, and even membership fees, I pledged this. And we were on a roll. But I'm going to tell you, with community organizing, if you don't have any money up front, and your steering committee and or your board of directors work for a year and a half, people get burned out if they're not getting paid. And that's just the reality of it. And so if we really want to support these type of initiatives, we have to be serious about funding. We have to be serious about giving these organizations a budget where we can hire people and so they can take care of themselves and their families.
Yep. Yeah, well, KKFI is a nonprofit, and we have paid staff, but basically, 85% of our 24/7 broadcasts are locally produced by volunteers like me and our board operator Craig Lebeau, and the other 15% is national and international fees. We pay for a chief operator, a development director, a volunteer coordinator, and an accountant, and that's it. And we struggle constantly to raise money. Anyway, we're about out of time. Any final comments for our listeners?
I just want to say thank you so much to KKFI for being a supporter of the Kansas City Urban Farm Co-op. KKFI, I've been associated with since I was a teenager. I'm a singer-songwriter as well. And so I've been on many different shows over the years, and it's just been a gift being associated with you guys for so long. So, and again, if anybody wants to learn more about what we do and keep up with everything, feel free to look us up on social media. And we would love to see you guys out at the A Night at the Orchard event happening next Saturday night, September 10th. Our link to get the tickets are available on our, you can find the link on our posts, on our social media pages. And on KKFI, yes.
Yes, so. That's I don't do Facebook or Twitter or whatever. So KKFI.org. And the description of this episode on Radioactive Magazine. Tune in next week to hear Kansas City, Missouri Mayor Quentin Lucas discuss guns in public places with Alan Katz, CEO and founder of American Public Square at William Jewell College in Liberty, and Mike McShane, director of national research for EdChoice, that's edchoice.org. He's also co-chair of the advisory committee for American Public Square. This is a link to that is going to be available in the description of the episode for that at kkfi.org. I'm Spencer Graves. Craig Gabo is at the controls. Thank you for listening.